Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 19, A Close Encounter of the Shotgun Kind. Queenie stumbled, staggered into me, and then fell to the ground. When I stopped, I realized that my focus on getting to the twins' house had kept me from noticing the burn of bloodlust in my gut. It hurt, and Queenie must be in even worse shape. She let out a long, low murr. Yes, she was hurting. On top of the burn, my eyes itched. Dawn was dawning. My heart would have raced if it had been beating. Panic is not a cat's nature, but I had a feeling that I was just about there. Queenie and I were on a block of ordinary older houses with small porches and little patches of lawns in front. Most of them were dark, but the windows in the next house ahead looked as if they were lit by candles, the light flickering and golden. The front door opened and two people came out. A young man and a woman. Both were dressed all in black, and the man wore a cape a whole lot like Lester's, complete with crimson lining. Another woman, this one older and also dressed in black, came to the door. Her hair was black too, with gray streaks on the sides of her head, and she wore glasses with thick black frames. She held a candle in one hand and called out, "Have a good night, blood brethren." The candlelight revealed fangs in her mouth when she spoke. And I caught the scent of blood streaming from the doorway. I gripped the skin on the back of Queenie's neck and dragged her. She went limp, and I pulled her across the grass. It was still dark enough that the two who were leaving didn't notice us. The guy turned back to the older woman and said, "Dracula be with you." The woman in the doorway laughed. "Now don't you go sounding like that Pat Bobson idiot." She stepped back into the house and closed the door. The scent of blood lingered, and my need grew stronger. The smell must have gotten to Queenie, too, because she struggled to her feet and moved in a halting trot towards the door. We'd made it up the steps and onto the front porch when the door opened again. We slipped into a shadow just before a tall, older man in black, his black hair slicked back like Bela Lugosi in the old Dracula movie, stepped out. The woman with the candle stood in the doorway. Oh, the smell of blood! I glanced at Queenie. She gathered herself, crouching as if for a pounce on a mouse. I did the same. We needed just one opening. The man said, "Good blood tonight, Gwen."
"Yeah, I thought the type O had the best aftertaste, didn't you?"
He nodded, and then put on a Slavic accent when he said, "Until the midnight ecstasy vampire coven gathers again, my dear." He took her hand and kissed the back. All I could think of was sinking my fangs into it. She tittered. He stepped off the porch, and she watched him go. When she turned inside, Queenie and I leaped and squeaked through the closing door before it shut. Inside, it was dark except for the fading light of the candle as the woman mounted stairs. The blood smell roared up out of a darkened doorway. With cat vision, there was plenty of light to see, of course. I led the way and found stairs heading down into a basement. Now a little crazed by bloodlust, I plunged down. In the back of my mind, I thought about Queenie, and I cared, but nothing could stop my body from heading for blood. Downstairs, moonlight from a high window revealed black crepe paper hung from the ceiling in droopy loops, and a circle of folding chairs surrounding a low table. The table was the source of the blood scent. I leaped and landed amidst a litter of glasses half filled with blood. A pitcher of the stuff sat in the center. Swinging a paw, I knocked a glass over and lapped up the blood. Oh, what a rush! A thud, and the table shook. I saw Queenie fall back, too weak to make it up to the top. I had enough blood in me to be more or less rational by then, so I butted the pitcher and knocked it over in her direction. The blood flowed across the table. I leaped down and joined Queenie for a mini waterfall of breakfast. A few minutes later, belly full of blood, I sprawled on my back and let the ecstasy flow. Queenie curled up in a more ladylike position and relaxed, leaning against a table leg,
I said, "Murr?" She gave me a purr. I didn't feel so guilty about having turned her into a vampire kitty cat. And here we were, well-fed, hearts pumping, privacy. A glow of light appeared from the stairway, and the woman's voice came. She muttered, "Must be losing my mind, leaving the blood out to spoil." Even though it occurred to me to run, I was up to my neck in a lake of pleasure, and moving was just too much to ask. When the circle of light reached us, the woman shrieked, "Giant rats!" She raced for the stairs, yelling, "Henry, get the shotgun!" Give me a break. I mean, in the last couple of days, I'd had my blood sucked out of me, been turned into a vampire, nearly crunched by a 7-foot undead guy, almost skewered with a wooden stake by a fundamentalist mob, come inches from having my tail cut off and seconds from being fried by the sun, been kidnapped twice, and been tried for murder. Oh, yeah, and almost turned into a, politician. Before I was dead, I had a life that went something like this. I slept most of the day, ate when I wanted to, got a lot of good licking in, had an associate who took care of all my needs and looked forward to petting me, and had carnal knowledge of various female cats. Repeat as desired. Now that I was sort of dead, my life was, "Henry, get the shotgun." My shoulders slumped, or at least they would have if cats had shoulders. Sure, you anal types out there will say that, anatomically speaking, we have shoulders. Hey, look at a cat. You see any shoulders? Anyway, I sat in the dark and wondered if it was even possible to get out of this one. Gwen's shriek came from upstairs. "They're down there, Henry!" Henry's voice was like gravel spilling from a shovel.
"Calm down, Gwenny."
Then came the mechanical sounds of a shell being pumped into the chamber of a shotgun.
"I've been wanting a chance to blow something away with this thing."
Queenie gave me a look. If she had been able to have an expression, I was pretty sure it would be fright. And I was the one who'd gotten her into this. My heart stopped beating, and the ecstasy of the blood rush faded away. I stood and surveyed the room. We were seriously underground. Just one small window, no bigger than I was tall, high up on a wall and tightly closed. Enough light came through from my night vision to make out plaid carpet.
Ugh.
Footsteps descended the stairs. Gwen said, "Be careful. You know your blood pressure."
"If you were worried about my blood pressure, you wouldn't come screaming giant rats at me."
"Well, the rats worried me even more."
"You got a point there."
I spotted a furnace and a water heater in one corner. Going to Queenie, I murfed at her and headed for the hiding places. She sprang to her feet, lively now with blood in her, and followed me. Just before we got there, the lights flicked on. Gwen shouted, "There!"
"I ain't blind."
The shotgun boomed. A big hole appeared in the furnace ahead of me. I hit the gas and got behind it in no time, and Queenie skidded to a stop beside me.
Henry said, "I don't think those were rats, Queenie. Were you wearing your glasses?"
"No, I was ready for bed." I let out a low, soft meow that said I was a scared kitty cat. Good old Henry said,
"Aha! Here, kitty kitty."
I poked my nose around the corner of the furnace, ready to scoot back. Henry stood at the ready, dressed in pajamas, a double-barreled shotgun aimed my way. Gwen cowered behind him, squinting vaguely at us, dressed in a robe with a daisy pattern. Henry leaned the shotgun against the wall and said,
"Come here, kitty. We won't hurt you."
I stepped out and Queenie followed. Gwen squinted and said, "Are you sure they're not rats?" What, did she think rats had acquired the ability to meow? You know, some people are downright useless. Queenie and I strolled to the middle of the room, but stopped when Henry said,
"Look at that mess."
He went to the table and set the tipped blood pitcher upright.
"Dang, I hope the blood doesn't ruin the carpet."
For my money, the carpet could use a little ruining. Gwen came closer and examined the spill. "I thought cats liked milk."
"They do, unless..."
Henry studied me.
"I've seen you before."
He snapped his fingers.
"The vampire cat on the news."
Gwen gasped and stepped back. "My God, a vampire? A real vampire?" in my house?
I said, "Murr." Henry said, "You got a problem with that? What, with all the fake vampires in your club?"
"Now, don't you go making fun of me in my club again."
She fished in a pocket and pulled out her glasses. When they were in place, she said,
"You're right. It's that patch cat. But I don't recognize the other one."
She smiled.
"My club is going to be so excited. A real vampire."
Henry picked up his shotgun and headed for the stairs. "Come on, let's get some sleep. We can deal with the cats in the morning."
Gwen followed. "You know, I bet we can make some money out of this. You know, sell tickets to see the vampire kitties."
I didn't like the sound of that. I looked back at Queenie and signaled that it was time to go, and then trotted for the stairs. At the top, Henry and Gwen went through the door. He looked back down and saw us coming.
"No, you don't."
He slammed the door shut.
"Oh, well."
We went back down and found an old couch next to a wall. When the sun came through the window, we should be okay under it. And then I smelled smoke. There was just enough light to see a wisp curl up from the hole in the furnace. We fur-bearing creatures have a real thing about fire, us being four-footed balls of kindling. My flight instincts grabbed my mind, and I leaped to my feet. Queenie was only a half-beat behind me. While flight mode is terrific for powering you up, you lose a little in the rationality department. All you can think about is, run! So we did, neck and neck, up the stairs. We hit the door together at full speed, and tumbled back down the stairs just as fast. There wasn't any pain, but I hoped no permanent damage had been done, vampires being unable to heal. What I needed now was not a broken leg or two. But the tumble was enough to put my mind back in charge. Run was still there, but I had control of the steering wheel and a paw on the brakes. I got up, went into a stalking crouch, and crept toward the hole in the furnace. The smell was stinky, not aromatic like good old wood burning. The wisp coming from the hole thickened. Queenie leaped up to the little window high on the wall. Standing on the sill, she shoved against it with her body and her head. It didn't budge. She looked at me and opened her mouth. Then her eyes widened. She relaxed, took a breath, and said the meow that means, "Me out?" The hole in the furnace was low to the ground, so it was easy to stand up and peer in. Deep inside, sparks came from a tangle of wires, and that was where the smoke started. While I watched, a sputter of sparks sent more smoke coming out the hole, and then a lick of flame ran along a wire. It was past time to get out of there, but how? Maybe if we could get Henry to open the door. I called up to Queenie to join me. "Meow." She leaped down and came to me. I sat on my haunches, raised my chin toward the ceiling, drew in a deep breath, and let out a loud caterwaul. Queenie was quick to join in, and we chorused at top volume. Thumping sounded on the floor above us, and we stopped. Henry's voice came.
"You shut up that noise, or I'm coming down there with my gun."
Gwen said, "Don't shoot 'em. We're going to put 'em in cages, and they won't be near as much fun to see if they're in pieces."
"I don't care. I want that noise to stop now."
"Oh, yeah?" He didn't know who he was dealing with. I nodded to Queenie. We took deep breaths and let out serious yowls, the kind that had been known to rip people from deep sleep and cause night terrors. This time, feet hit the floor and Henry said,
"What the hell?"
We inhaled and let another one rip. Footsteps, more like foot stomps, started up. I raced up the stairs and crouched on the step below the door opening. Queenie was by my side a beat later. We didn't have to wait long. The door swung open and Henry's foot came down. I stood, arched my back, and caught his foot just right. He tumbled down the stairs, the shotgun flying ahead of him. It went off when it hit the floor. Dead silence. Henry lay there. And then a little moan came out. Gwen called out, "Honey, you didn't shoot that cat, did you?" I leaped out the door and ran for the front of the house. A front window was open, and the screen had a corner loose at the bottom. The sky was paling, but the sun wasn't up yet. We had a chance to find a house to crawl under for the day. No time to think, I launched myself at the screen. It gave, and I broke through. I landed on the porch and rolled. A pair of dog legs stopped me on my back, and I looked up to an unfetchingly large mouth full of fangs and other sharp teeth.
song is Dire Wolf from Reckoning by the Grateful Dead.
Please don't hurt me.
For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.